95% of our lives are run and created by our subconscious mind programming. Imagine if your subconscious mind is running many negative, disempowering, and self-sabotaging programs. How will that 95% of your life turn out to be? Would you like help to change your subconscious programming into something that works for you and set it to attract and create everything you desire? Join Tamara Oviatt in her show Metaprogramming and the Human Biocomputer here on OM Times, where she will connect to the source energy and change your subconscious programming by deleting your negative belief systems. Tamara is the founder of Sacred Activations, a subconscious metaprogramming modality that rewires your brain and shifts hundreds of your belief systems so you can break away from lack, pain, and suffering, and take control of what you want to create in your life. Tamara has helped hundreds of thousands of people worldwide, and she is here to help you too. It's not about fighting what you don't want. It's about creating what you do want. And the only way to do that is to change and upgrade your subconscious programming. Let Tamara help you create magic in your world. Tune in every week at Metaprogramming and the Human Biocomputer.
Hi, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I've got Peter Canova on. He's a highly successful multilingual international businessman who, after a series of life-changing spiritual experiences, began studying and writing on spirituality and consciousness. He's the author of a 25 times, that's really cool, award-winning First Soul trilogy, and has contributed to the popular Chicken Soup of the Soul series. He hosts a podcast on quantum spirituality on Dream Vision 7 Network. Welcome to the show, Gary. I'm so excited that I get to interview you.
Wow, it's nice to be with you.
And that you're here today. So thank you so much for being here. When I read your questions, I was so excited because I channel the multiverse and the multiverse blueprint, but I'm not a researcher. You know, when I first started channeling all this healing abilities, I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't. I didn't even know what sacred geometry was. So to have you on that we can really talk about this, I'm really excited about this.
Well, great. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. So, So how does physicists have contemplated the existence of parallel universes since the 1800s? Can we talk about that?
Sure. Well, I think it's really pays to talk about parallel universes from two different perspectives, what science is saying about it, what ancient spirituality says about it, because they do overlap. But I think the spiritual side is a lot more clear and understandable and makes more sense, at least to me. But there's a number of theories that are floating around out there about parallel universes, and some of them get rather complicated. So there's a bubble universe theory, which says there's more than one Big Bang, so there's more than one universe out there. And one of these days, our universe could, technically meet up with one of those. There's another theory out there that says that we're kind of like a bubble in a bubble, that's called the brain theory, B-R-A-N-E, which is short for membrane. And what that kind of says is that the parallel universes are contained in these sort of barrier-like membrane-like structures, and we may be inside another membrane. Then the wildest theory is the many, many worlds hypothesis, which is that every event that occurs actually leads not just to one result, but leads to multiple results, which create multiple dimensions. Okay, wrap your head around that one. So you see, the scientific theories are a little counterintuitive and a little out there. But I think the important thing to understand is that they're recognizing in one form or another that there's very likely something called a multiverse out there. There are very likely parallel universes out there. Now, so to get to, from a spiritual standpoint, and this is where I think it becomes, things make a little bit more sense and become a little bit more clear. And the reason for that is that the spiritual point of view, in particular, I'm talking about the Gnostic spiritual tradition. And I can explain who the Gnostics were later on if your listeners don't know. But the Gnostics really were a group that were centered in ancient Alexandria, Egypt, and they really combined so many different streams of spirituality of that day: Buddhism, Hinduism, Hellenistic philosophy, Egyptian Hermetic practices, and even the Kabbalah. And the Gnostics were exposed to all these and essentially had synthesized these principles into an understanding of how the universe operates, how creation happened, how the universe appeared, and how it's maintained. So what I'm going to talk about today is largely coming from the Gnostic tradition. But the reason why I think it really makes more sense is because the Gnostics start to explain the multiverse and the creation from the standpoint of consciousness. Consciousness is their point of departure. Now, the reason why science, I think, is all over the board is because science still starts from a materialistic standpoint. There's still a strong belief, not becoming less dominant, but still a strong belief in the scientific community, that life and consciousness started from the bottom up, meaning there was somehow this random collection of particles that collided with one another and formed more and more complex organisms, which eventually led to life. The problem is none of it makes any sense because they never explain how inorganic matter all of a sudden became organic and was able to, you know, form more complex biological structures. But if you take it from the top-down standpoint, that life started from consciousness, that it was essentially a giant mind construct from a source consciousness, things start to fall into place a little bit more and become more intelligible. So what the tradition says is that this source consciousness projected out other points of consciousness. You know, for people from a Judeo-Christian background, you can call these other points angels or archangels or whatever. Entities, like individual intelligent entities. So best way to think of it is think of like the layers of an onion or concentric circles. The source was at the, and it radiated out these separate points of consciousness. But the separate consciousness, they had their own of existence, but we really shouldn't think of them as spatial dimensions, okay? I only use the example of the onions and the concentric circles to make it more visual for people. In reality, what defined these dimensions were the varying vibrations of consciousness, the varying levels of consciousness. So the highest level of consciousness would be the source. The next level out would be a little bit more diluted or limited from the source. The next level out would be a little bit more diluted, and so forth and so on. So that the further you got away from the source consciousness, the lower the level of awareness. Ultimately, this process, and there's a whole mythology that went with this, which is extremely interesting in and of itself, but ultimately this led to the creation of the material world, where you had souls pursuing their own individual direction apart from this unity of the consciousness with the source, pursuing their own individual direction, leading to the formation of the material world. But long and short of it, that's how the ancients viewed consciousness. They viewed them as different dimensions or parallel dimensions, as different levels of consciousness.
So I want to go back to something you said, because your computer locked up for a couple seconds again. Angels are what?
Okay, what I was saying is that these points of consciousness that were radiated out from the source, to help people think of them, you can think of them as angels or archangels, but not really. What would the Gnostics called them? Eons, A-E-O-N-S, which means eternities. And what they really were archetypal centers of energy from the source itself. So they were given names like truth, justice, mercy, love, wisdom, the clearly archetypal images from Plato to Carl Jung that have been identified. And each of these supposedly was responsible for creating a certain vibration of the created world, resonating with those kind of ideals, love or wisdom or whatever the case may be. So you can think of these eons as angels or archangels if it makes it more intelligible to you. What they really were sources of highly intelligent light energy that were vibrating to a particular frequency.
Totally agree with that. Absolutely. Okay, so a little bit more about the string theory, the multiverse theory. I work with the multiverse energies, and and I bring that in, but I have never researched it. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, like you, this is sort of my background, how I came to this. When I was in my 20s, I discovered I was a very accurate medical intuitive. And once I put the disbelief about that aside and I just let my intuition flow, I started experiencing all other types of phenomena, clairvoyance, clairaudience, remote viewing, premonitions, and so forth. Being the Capricorn that I am, I wasn't just satisfied in having the experiences. I wanted to understand something about the nuts and bolts of it. And that's where I started initially looking at spiritual, ancient spiritual texts. And then ultimately I started on quantum physics. And the nexus there is that really, in their essence, both ancient spiritual wisdom and modern quantum physics deal with light, energy, and matter. That's what it's all about. Those three things, light, energy, and matter. So the reason why I know that there are other dimensions out there is because I've tapped into them. That's where all this information that I got, which was verified in the so-called real world. I got this obviously from other sources of information that were, I think, vibrating at a higher level than we were, because otherwise I had no way of making premonitions or predictions. Can I describe in detail what those visions look like? No, because I got the information from them, but I didn't really start to see pictures or movies of what the dimension looks like. I have done research into possibilities of planes of existence and what those planes of might look like. And a lot of it makes sense to me in light of my experience. So sort of by putting my experience together with sources of information that I've read in both quantum theory and spiritual, ancient spiritual texts, by connecting all those, it really makes sense to me and really has affirmed my belief that there certainly are other dimensions out there.
Oh, definitely. Completely agree with you. I work a lot in the other dimensions. You know, you were talking about the bubble inside a bubble.
Yeah.
I've been to the top of what I say is a dome. And I don't really understand it. Can you go into that more?
Can you tell me a little bit more about your perception? You said about something about a dome.
Well, you said we're like in a bubble within a bubble, right?
It's one of the theories. Yeah.
Yeah. And that it's the universes are like separated in the bubble or whatever you said. I've been to the top of that bubble. And I was just in source energy. I was in zero point or the eye of God at that point. I was like above all the dimensions that we see and or that we can experience. But I don't know what it is. And I haven't researched it. You know, I did a Dolores Cannon training just because I love Dolores Cannon. And her daughter drew a picture of like that bubble. And it's like, I've seen that. You know, I saw it several years ago and I've been up there many times, but I don't understand it. Can you explain it or what you think it is, one of the theories?
Yeah, let me try and explain it from a quantum standpoint, okay? So what scientists have realized is that there are no such things as particles. So what makes up our supposedly solid world doesn't really exist at the quantum level. Now, isn't that strange? Because the quantum level is what makes the larger macroscopic level that we perceive, that we live in. You know, so how does this work? And what is at the very bottom of reality? Well, what's at the bottom of reality is a quantum wave, a wave of light energy, and it's infinite. It's all places all at once. What happens in this sea of calm, energy, this wave of energy that is fundamental to all reality, is that every so often there are disturbances in the quantum field. And the best thing I can liken it to is, okay, I live part of the time in Florida, and you can look out onto a bay and it's pretty calm, but all of a sudden a waterspout forms. Now, for those of you who don't know what waterspouts are, they're little like waterborne little mini tornadoes. And you can see them arising right out of the water. Now, the water around it is still, but there's this disturbance right around the water spout. And it just sort of kind of spontaneously forms itself. So Well, the scientists have theorized that the bubbles that we're talking about, like the bubble of our universe, is kind of a blip or a blemish in the quantum field that kind of pops out. It's like just kind of bulges out from the smooth quantum field. And there could be any number of these. It might not just be ours. There might be others out there that are within this enfolding quantum wave, but these other disturbances are kind of blips in the energy screen that can actually form these pocket dimensions, can occur within that quantum field. So, I'm not exactly sure what your experience was or where exactly you were at that time, but that does talk or address a little bit about how these bubble universes, bubble dimensions might form.
Okay. Yeah. I was running some energy and I was in meditation and I was told to go into the eye of God. So I just saw myself in this space of, and it was like at the top of this dome or in a bubble, and I could see it. And I could see that I was above all the dimensions and I was just in this like zero point energy. And it's, I go in there a lot now, but I don't always see the dome, but I've seen that and it was just really interesting. It's like,
it sounds to me like what, when you said you kind of were above and saw everything, it sounds like your consciousness was streaming in that quantum field, in that quantum energy field, and that you were, perceiving maybe some of these dimensions or disturbances, like I said, like you were looking over the river and seeing all the water spouts there, that, you know, your energy was in that flow, that fundamental infinite flow, which is the energy, quantum energy wave.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's very interesting. And I haven't understood it yet, and it's, sometimes these things come to me or happen to me and it takes me years before I totally understand it, the experience, it like unfolds for me.
That's pretty common, those of us that have these experiences, they just experience them, and they don't really, we don't really, perceive, well, I would say the mechanics behind them. And that's where I was at when all this started happening with me. So that's why I started seeking answers with quantum theory and, and looking at the ancient spiritual text to see if I could find analogs that might explain my experience. And I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So our reality is a cosmic holographic movie. Let's talk about that.
Well, there's a very good chance that we're living in a giant simulation, kind of like the holodeck on Star Trek, where they were able to program all these different experiences, go back to different time frames with all these characters, and they were so vivid, they're so real. Sometimes the crew on the Star Trek crew would immerse themselves in these experiences and as if it was happening to them. And so sometimes you forget you're the programmer. And you become so involved in the program that you've created. So I think that what kind of kicked off the whole idea of a holographic universe were some things like quantum entanglement. So what they found was that particles that literally were millions of light years apart would instantaneously communicate with each other, actually faster than the speed of light. And nothing is supposed to go faster than the speed of light, except perhaps the speed of thought. And so that would be like saying there's a version of you here on Earth, and say there's another version of you on Mars, and I pinch the Earth version of the one on Mars, says ouch, at the exact same time. Okay, so how does that happen? How do particles that are literally light years apart instantaneously communicate with one another? Well, they started to theorize, David Bohm was one of the original ones who started to theorize, well, you know what, maybe they're not separated. Maybe these so-called things that we look at as separations or of objects or particles, maybe we're just all part of kind of like a hologram. And that's why things can communicate instantaneously. That's why they've done experiments where people can actually have elements of their own DNA, taken out and put in a laboratory miles away. And when they're exposed to emotional stimulation, they can see the DNA react at the exact same time. So these connections exist at all different levels. And why does that happen? Well, you know, here's the thing. If you're part of a hologram, the thing about a hologram is you can slice and dice a hologram in any number of pieces, but each little minute piece will always contain the image of the whole, which means that we're living in a unity that looks to us like a separation. So that's where the, you know, the idea started to come from, that maybe we're living in this kind of like simulated world and we're experiencing things, you know, as a little bit of a holographic projection. Now, very interesting was that some years later, and when they started studying black holes, a black hole is, it's an area that becomes so dense that it sucks in all light around it. And there's something around a black hole that defines it called an event horizon. Anything outside of the event horizon is still in our universe. Anything that gets sucked into the event horizon, we don't know what happens. That all goes somewhere, okay? So when they were studying black holes, what they found out was that the information that makes up a black hole, you would think would reside inside the black hole, inside the volume of the black hole. But they found out that wasn't true. The information resides on the outside of the black hole of the event horizon, and it's projected inward. So let me give you an example to make that more intelligible. Let's say you have a bucket, and inside the bucket is our universe. Everything, the comings and goings, the stars, the planets, us, everything that happens in our universe is inside that bucket.
Om Times TV. Do you want to go deeper into sacred activations, which is a subconscious metaprogramming process? Tamara Oviatt is inviting you to visit her website at tamaraoviatt.com to sign up and get lifetime access to 3 free activations that you can listen to anytime you want or as often as you need. If you like what Tamara does and like to incorporate sacred activations into your life, she also offers live webinars, masterclasses, and practitioners training to further support your healing, manifestations, and expansion. There are hundreds of activations on her website that address different aspects of your life: money, health, relationships, intuitive abilities, and more. Head over to her website at tamaraoviatt.com and experience the magic of sacred activations. Thank you for listening. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
If I could be you, and you could be me for just 1 hour, if we could find a way to get inside each other's minds.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
We think that all the information then about our universe is inside the bucket. What the study of black holes tells us, no, that's not true. The information is actually on the outside of the bucket, on the skin of the bucket, as two-dimensional sheets that are projected inward to create three-dimensional information, the appearance of three-dimensional images. So, you know, what the black holes study did was it furthered the belief that we may be very well living in a holographic projection that everything that we're experiencing as three-dimensional reality is actually a projection from elsewhere.
How can each of us harness the power of quantum spirituality to transform the world?
Well, I think connecting the dots always gives you a fuller picture of anything that's going on. So, you know, quantum spirituality in my book, for instance, Quantum Spirituality, but which incidentally swept the American Book Fest Best Book Awards, or won 4 awards out of 4 categories. But
wow, congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. What quantum spirituality is about is it's the roadmap for consciousness. And like any map, to make sense, you need more than one coordinate. You need north, south, latitude, and longitude, whatever the case may be. What I find with many people is they're either scientific or logical, or they're kind of spiritual, and they operate in those spheres. I've tried to cross those spheres along with other disciplines like neurobiology, psychology, Carl Jung, Jungian psychology, and so forth. And I've taken a multidisciplinary approach to explain many of the phenomena that we're talking about here right now, which is the creation, the origin of life, how human beings came about, what our purpose is. I've been able to create a matrix of information. So within this arena of information, people can get this knowledge and then they can incorporate it into their own spiritual practice. But it's always good, I've always felt, to understand the basics, because the universe does operate with certain laws and certain basics. And it's good to understand those, but understand those from several different standpoints so that it makes sense. Because I know that, you know, my spiritual mind was very excited, or my logical mind was very excited, when I started going into quantum physics to find out about the stuff that was happening in my spiritual mind. So it validates, you know, left brain, right brain validation of things. And that's really what quantum spirituality is about. It's about giving, you know, reference points from different disciplines, connecting dots, and allowing people to enter this arena of information and further their own spiritual journey, and hopefully have the same type of extraordinary experiences with consciousness that you've had, or that I've had, or that others have had.
So how do we transform our world with this, with the quantum spirituality?
Well, I think the first step is individual. It all has to start with the individual. And individuals have to take spiritual responsibility for themselves. Opening up to spiritual understandings is just like any other form of work. If you ignore it or you don't pay attention to it, you won't grow into it. You won't understand it. And you'll just kind of lead your life. You know, life will lead you around by the nose. I say in the book, for one of the first questions I ask is, do you want to live in the basement or do you want to live in the penthouse? If you live in the basement, you can survive and do your job and go home and eat and have a family and do all these other things and enjoy life from time to time. You know, you really don't understand the fullness of life and what it's about. But if you move up to the penthouse with the type of knowledge that we're talking about, then you start to see things. When an individual consciousness opens up, it's a big thing. And when people start to have understandings that there's more out there than just what our five senses detect, that vibrates in the universe. Okay. That's a big event when an individual person understands that. When groups of people understand that, it's an even bigger event. Some of us listening may have been in situations where you've been in a group meditation, or, you know, you get that group energy and it's like turbocharge, you know, and instead of by yourself, you're linked with other souls and other energies. And I mean, you know, you just get that tingling all over your body and you just feel it. It's like I say, it's like being turbocharged. So, you know, but it all starts with the individual, and it all starts with taking individual responsibility for your own spiritual growth. And then what you do with it, that's really up to you. Maybe it makes your business practice more successful, or more, you know, a little bit more moral. Maybe you write books like I did, or you try and heal people like other people do. The expressions of what an individual person can do with that are unlimited, but it all begins with taking that initial responsibility to pursue that road and understand some of these questions.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to this question again. The power of quantum spirituality to transform the world and us.
Well, again, I think the power of quantum spirituality is taking the knowledge that can come from quantum science and can come from ancient spiritual wisdom and incorporating that into your own spiritual practice, whatever that may be. There's no one path, as I'm sure you're aware. Everybody has their own way of approaching spirit, but you can approach spirit with a conceptual framework, a good knowledge base that really helps you, and it bolsters your faith, and it gives you a better understanding that there's a payoff at the end for all that work that you're putting in.
By studying the quantum physics?
Well, again, I'm getting back to my book in particular, because that's okay. My point of departure. Okay, so I can't talk about in generalities. It's too abstract. What I'm trying to say is the book that I wrote, it connects all these dots from psychological, neurobiological, quantum physical, and ancient spiritual traditions, and it gives this arena of knowledge that can really help boost people's effort to experience higher consciousness.
Okay, through reading your book.
Well, I'm not saying reading my book is the only way to do it, but I put a lot of thought and I put a lot of energy into this, and I hope people can benefit from my experiences, which is pretty extensive.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It definitely sounds like it. Because to me, quantum spirituality to transform the world is, like you said, we're individuals, but we're all connected. So when in the universe, you know, sees that we have groups thinking the same way. And how I think we transform it is with us shifting ourselves, it's like dominoes, and it goes into the collective consciousness and starts transforming the whole collective consciousness. What do you think of that?
Well, I think I know in the Gnostic text, there's a concept that there's kind of a tipping point where when enough people awaken in consciousness, it starts to tilt the landscape in a different direction. And, you know, hopefully in a much better direction than where we're heading. But, you know, again, the whole idea of group consciousness, and now that can work for the negative too. I mean, look at what happened in Nazi Germany. I mean, Nazism, communism, these are really mental viruses that have dramatically impacted people's lives for the worse. You know, when you have a group of people who are oriented, you know, and hopefully they have a spiritual understanding. And incidentally, I make a distinction from spirit and religion. Okay. I mean, religion is fine. I'm not one of these people that goes around bashing religion or knocking religion. However, I do feel that spirituality is on a higher plane than religion, because if you're on your journey of life or journey of spirit, religion, you know, says, okay, come on into our box and, you know, we'll give you certain information, but you've got to stay in our box because this is the only thing that's valid. Whereas the true spiritual pilgrim will say, okay, fine, I'll take that and go on to the next way station and learn from that way station and then go on to the next way station and so forth and so on. So, you know, you can take positive things from religion, but don't get boxed in. Keep an open mind, because, you know, truth is an unfolding phenomenon.
True. Absolutely. I have an activation called Labels and Boxes, and I totally agree with you on that. But I also agree that spirituality also has its collective consciousness belief systems. And when you plug into say I'm spiritual, you're also running all of their belief systems, that group consciousness of spiritual people. And I see how spiritual people really get sucked into these belief systems that really aren't true. And they keep you boxed in too. That's what I think when I think of spirituality versus religion. I think they're both boxes, and I don't feel like I belong to either one of them.
Well, I don't feel that the spirituality you're talking about, I don't feel is true spirituality then. Because I mean, I personally have never subscribed to any spiritual group. I mean, I've kind of, you know, worked this independently through my own experience. So if what you're saying is really the case, yeah, look, anything can fall into orthodoxy. Okay. Science has fallen into orthodoxy. I mean, you can't, you know, the scientific materialism says that if you even think that there's intelligent design behind the creation, that, you know, we're going to drum you out of academia. You're going to be an exile. Spirituality can be orthodox too, I suppose. For instance, if you go to a certain spiritual church or something. I suppose that can happen there, although I've never really gone to one except to speak, maybe. So I mean, anything can fall into orthodoxy, but ultimately, as an individual, you have to seek your own path and develop your own belief. And I always say that prophets speak the heart of God, their followers start religions. And that's because the followers were not the ones that had the experience, not the ones that had the revelation. My goal with my book is to help people have their own revelations, to be their own prophets, so that they don't even have to believe people like me. In fact, when I speak publicly, very often I start off by saying, "Don't believe a damn thing I'm going to tell you." And people are saying, "Wow, what did I pay to come to this for?" Well, what I'm really saying to them is that I want you to listen to what I have to say, consider what I have to say, use it as you feel it resonates with your truth, but at the end of the day, it is going to be your truth. You have to walk that road yourself and develop what your own belief system is about the truth of existence and your place in it and everything else, and be your own prophet. I mean, faith is nice and faith is helpful, but remember one thing about faith: you're taking somebody else's version of something. So I can tell you that fire burns, but until you put your hand in that fire, you don't really know that for sure. Once you put your hand in the fire, you own it. You own the truth of it. And that's what you need to get to. What enlightenment really is about is having an experiential relationship with higher consciousness, having an experiential relationship with higher dimensions. And experience means just that. You experience them. You don't fantasize about them. You don't take it on other people's say so. You experience it directly. That is the highest form of knowledge. That's where I would like to see people.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. It's important for people to have their own connection and not just believe other people. Because you can totally be brought down the wrong road where, you're spinning out in these belief systems that don't even belong to you.
Well, and people have agendas too. I mean, you can't always. There's been a lot of false prophets in life, and some people are essentially are out there, mainly trying to, make money off of things. And as you grow and you mature spiritually, you become more discerning of these things.
No. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I see a lot of false prophets, and they're very popular. They're very well known, and they're giving wrong information. What do you have to say? What would you like to say about that?
Well, they may not necessarily be giving completely wrong information. They may be giving half truths or whatever. There may be some gems of wisdom. Look, I mean, in my opinion, even Paul, Saint Paul, was not teaching Christianity. He was a bit of a false prophet in my mind, because he was not teaching what Jesus taught, and he had his own version of things that were a mishmash of I don't know what, and he's an interesting character. Now, is he a false prophet in a way? Yes, there was some truth, I think, in what he said. But you're always going to run across this phenomenon in life where someone's going to sling you a line of BS for some reason. It's up to you to educate yourself and become more, mature in terms of spirit, in terms of knowledge and everything else, that you could be more discerning and, intuit that, what this guy's saying doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't sound right.
No. Okay, so where would you like to go from here?
No, I mean, that's, I mean, it's entirely up to you. I think we've talked about a lot of things. I mean, how much time do we have left?
About 5 minutes.
Okay, there are things that I probably would have said, but they would take more than 5 minutes.
And
But
go
I
ahead and
think
say it. We can extend it a little bit.
In the Gnostic version of creation, there was a the human soul broke from the kind of hive mind or the spiritual infinity of what was called heaven in order to pursue individual experience. And that ultimately led to the creation of maybe the lowest form of spirituality, which is spirit in a human body, in a physical body. So, we're really spirits. We're not so much humans looking for a spiritual experience as spirits seeking a human experience, a different experience from just being on a pure energetic level. And what I would say is that life into out of the dust of the clay of the earth, there is a big distinction between creation and what. Now, creation, to give you an example, Geppetto created the Pinocchio. Pinocchio was a separate creation from Geppetto, who was the creator. But all the ancient spiritual traditions tell us that no, that's not the way it happened. We were actually projections of the source consciousness itself, albeit in diluted forms, in limited forms, but we were still a projection of this source consciousness. So just like a power grid where you have the source and then you have relay stations that tap down the source to make it usable in homes and businesses and everything else, essentially we're like those relay stations. So we do participate in the very fabric of consciousness that has created and sustains reality. And what I would like to leave with people is that we are not these lowly creatures or creations. We are the fingers of God touching the face of this earth. And our purpose is to spiritualize the material and bring the experience of the material back to spirit. We are the bridge between spirit and matter. And we are much, much more than what we think we are. And we have a much more exalted role to play in terms of shaping what physical life can be like for generations to come. So I'd like people to get away from the whole guilt of original sin and all the other BS that we have been taught by organized religions, because we are a much higher state of being than that.
Absolutely. Completely and totally agree with you. I love your explanation, how we are like the fingers of God having this experience in matter and creation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I truly, that's what all my experiences led me to.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love all the research you've done and how you explain this. And I'm sure you go much deeper about all of this in your book. Can you give the name of your book again and maybe show it?
Yeah, I don't have a copy with me, but it's called Quantum Spirituality. And it's available on all the online booksellers and in bookstores. It became an instant Amazon bestseller. It's got about 50 reviews on Amazon if people care to read them. Most, about 90% 5-star and 4-star reviews. I've also got a book series called The First Souls Trilogy, which is about the first spirits to incarnate into the material world, and it traces their lives over different epochs of history. And the first book is called Pope Annalisa. It's an African nun who becomes the first female pope at a time when America and Iran are going into a nuclear war. It's won 25 national and international book awards. I think it's maybe the most highly awarded independently published book on the market out there. It's become kind of a cult hit, and we're working on the first book, Pope Annalisa, to get that into a TV series on one of the streaming networks. So if you go to my website, petercanova.com, it's PETERCANOVA.com, you can learn more about all the different works. And I've got articles and videos and, you know, other informative information on there.
Yeah, this is really cool. Someone said they just bought your book.
Okay. Well, please, if you enjoy it, please give me a review on Amazon. Those always help.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here, Peter. I really appreciate it. I'm so sorry we had so many technical issues today. It's just a kind of a strange day. I don't know what's going on because I don't really go into all the planet stuff of Mercury retrograde anymore. I just don't even think about it. But today is very strange.
I've had stuff happen on this computer today that I have never had happen in my life before. It was really weird, but I'm glad we were able to get through it enough for hopefully for people to relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Absolutely love talking to you, and have an absolutely beautiful day. And everybody, you can go to his website, petercanova.com.
Thank you.